I tell you, amen. Good two specials. Good special this morning, special tonight, amen. Amen. I knew I'd be preaching to the choir tonight, pretty much, amen. After I seen all the ones that were scared to come to church in the storm this morning, I said, boy, tonight's going to be some slim pickings, amen. I said, but the faithful ones will be there, amen. Open your Bibles tonight. A lot of you might have known I was preaching again, didn't show up. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to continue on just a little bit with what I finished with last Sunday night and preach a short message here, I think. I think it's only an hour long or something like that. I told my wife it was 20, so she would come, amen. But I tried to... Anyway, you know, I was thinking this morning, and I want y'all to remember this and think about this too, because... Before I went to the mission field, I've been to Mexico, I've been to different mission fields, I've been to Haiti, I've been to Dominican Republic, I've been to a bunch of places to the mission field. I want you to think about something. The preacher was talking about this morning, all these different countries where ISIS is and all the bad things that happen, and even Haiti is, you know, he mentioned the other day that it's the Satan capital of the world, poorest country in the world, if you was here on a Wednesday night and all that stuff. But there's one thing about all these countries that are portrayed in the news all the time. They're portrayed the worst of the worst. You know what I mean? When all that stuff happened in Haiti, they showed the worst of the worst. And you know the other countries do the same thing about America. They show the worst of the worst of America and Russia and all these other stuff. They don't, but what's behind all of that mess is some good people that just need to be saved. You know, over there where all that ISIS is going, if you ever watch those bombings, if you watch the news much and you see that, you will see fathers and mothers crying over their houses being destroyed and over, they're just normal people that need Jesus Christ. Just because we see all that bad stuff on the outside doesn't mean we need to lose focus on the fact that those are real people there that need Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they need. And sometimes I had a missionary come in one time. I probably told you this story before. He was a missionary to Australia. And at that time, I don't remember what war was going on or what was happening, but he come in my Sunday school class and sat down, and he says, what we need to do is just bomb them all and just kill them all and just end all this. And I said, my goodness, what? It really shocked me that coming out of a missionary's mouth, because that missionary didn't understand that those are real people over there. They're dying and going to hell that need Jesus Christ. When I was in Haiti up in the bush, and I'm sure Trinidad's exactly the same and all the other countries are the same, and Papua New Guinea, all the bad stuff you see there and all that, when you get there and you go into the bush and into those cities and all that stuff, they're just real people trying to live, trying to survive, that just need Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's what we need to stay focused on and remember that. Instead of getting so mad at these foreign countries. I get mad at Iran. I get mad at that leader over there is a moron. I get mad at that kind of stuff and everything else, but don't get mad at Iran, because them are real people over there dying and going to hell that need Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for our missionaries that are willing to go to those places and tell people about Jesus Christ. Like I told you before, missions is where my heart is. I love missions. I love missionaries. We take care of a lot of missionaries at our shop. We support a lot of missionaries down there. And sometimes I fuss at them a little bit when they come through. And I make fun of them a little bit every now and then, because they do always got their hand out. And you know, depending on what mission board they're from, they're kind of taught that, you know, to have their hand out all the time. But there's some good missionaries out there that are trying to get the work done, that are winning people for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that I cannot ever think about missions without thinking about Brother Homer. And Brother Homer, I was sitting there praying today about tonight's message and been praying. And if you've been around Brother Homer, if you've ever been around him, his heart was for missionaries and his heart was for missions. And I've seen the power of God on his life during a mission conference, how God has used him through the Word of God to touch somebody's heart to do miraculous things for the Lord. And boy, I tell you, I miss him, and I'm glad this missions conference, and I hope and pray that the Lord would use me in a way to affect people's heart the way God used Brother Homer. And I tell you, I could tell you some stories. I could sit up here all night and tell you stories that I've seen, hauling him around the country and some things that just would blow your mind that has happened. But I miss him, And when I think of missions, I can't help but think of him. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. Let me try to preach a little short message here. Amen. Starting in verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night, and I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to preach what you've put on my heart. Lord, I pray that that would just continue on into the hearts of my friends tonight, Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Most everybody in here tonight's a believer. There may be one or two not, but for the majority of us, we love you. For the majority of us, we love to sing your praises. We love you, and Lord, we want to be touched. We want our hearts to be increased, our faith to be increased. And Lord, I pray that you do that work this week. Do it through the preaching of the gospel with Brother Vic. Lord, I pray with the missionaries, Lord. I pray that everything done this week will bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, that it would help us to have a vision for missions, Lord. And we give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What a blessing it is to be saved. You know, that is one of the greatest things. I like to start all my messages out like that because it kind of helps you to get focused on the fact that thank God we are saved. All the stuff that He has done for us, the bleeding, the blood on Calvary, everything that's happened, and I just praise the Lord that I'm saved tonight. I sit there, "Amazing Grace." What a wonderful song that is. Amen. "Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me." Amen. And that's exactly what I was. And I can raise my hand and praise the Lord for that, no matter where I'm at or any time it is, because that's exactly what I was a wretch. I didn't have much going for me. I didn't have any of that stuff. And yet God loved me so much that He saved me anyway. Amen. I am so thankful for that. And I can't get over how blessed it is just to be saved. Amen. And I mean, we can rejoice over that all night. I see Sister Melanie with a smile on her face when we sang "Bring Them In." Amen. Hey, I don't know what she was smiling about that part of that song, but there was a time when I was out there, amen, and somebody else was singing "Bring Them In," and somebody else was having a mission conference and putting missionaries on the field, and somewhere in all that, God put it on somebody's heart to go to my little trailer that I was at up there in Suffolk, Virginia, and knock on my door and pester me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what they were doing? They were trying to bring them in, amen, from the fields of sin. What a blessing it is and an opportunity it is to be saved. But then what we preach on so much and on Sunday nights and everything else that blows my mind, and I can't get over this and I hope I never do, is the fact not only that I'm saved, but the fact that God wants to bless my life after I got saved. Amen. It's not just a thing I got saved and I'm dead tomorrow. It's a thing that I got saved and God said, "Now I'm going to let you serve me. And when you serve me, I'm going to bless you." Amen. I'm telling you, I cannot get over that. God has given us this written book called the Bible and has instructed us how to live and how to be blessed above and beyond what we can even imagine. Do you know that? I mean, when you serve God and you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, not only are we promised a place in heaven, amen, not only has He gone and prepared a place for us in heaven, but while we're on this earth, He says, if you'll just serve me, if you'll just read this book and understand what I'm trying to tell you, I will bless your life beyond you can imagine. Is that not what God does? Now, I'm not preaching that prosperity mess tonight, amen. Hey, you can have $1 million in your back pocket and still be the most depressed person in the world, amen? You can live it. You know, most people that are rich and have mansions end up blowing their heads off, amen? They do. That ain't what God's promising you. He ain't promising you a Lincoln or a limousine to come to church in and all that kind of stuff, amen? He's talking about the prosperity that God gives us, His joy and peace and love and a friend that'll never leave us or forsake us. And to know that when we stand in the pulpit or when we go outside the streets, that we can stand on the promises of God, amen? That's what God promises. That's the things that God gives us. Those are the blessings that He pours out on us. I'm telling you, not only to be saved and have the blessings, but God has written it down in here and instructed us how to live for Him and then blesses us for it. He goes us here, and we get into the message in chapter 9 and verse 6. We talking about giving this week, and I don't want you to block me off right now. Amen. I'm not going to wear you out very long about giving. I'm just going to be short. Maybe, you know, I don't know, whenever I get done. Amen. But I don't want to put no time limit, amen, on it. But whenever I get done, when the Lord's done, I'm done. Amen. I hope. Amen. But anyway, I just want you to understand the principles of giving, and most people in this church do. I tell you, I was blown out of my mind when I seen that number last year come through. I really was. I sat there in my mind, and I told my wife, I looked at her, I said, how can that be? I said, how can that be? I'm trying to do math. I'm a businessman, right? I do business. I'm sitting there going, thinking in my head now, no, average, you know, my head's just clicking away. I'm like, how can that be? I'll tell you how that can be. That's because God has affected the hearts of His people, and His people has got their hearts right with God, and that is I don't want to mess my message up, but that is a sign of the depth of your heart right there. Amen. So we get into this, and God has some simple principles here that we're going to look at. He explains to us, and He uses Paul to explain this. And Paul, I'm telling you something, when Paul wrote something down, and people say, well, he don't live in the time that I live in. Whew, I'm glad I didn't live when Paul lived. Amen. I'm glad I'm living now. Amen. Paul had it rough. I mean, he got beat everywhere he went, put in prison everywhere he went, but yet God used him to jot these things down. And I'm telling you, if Paul can say to give, then anybody can give. Amen. But in verse 6, we see what he says about giving, the principle or the rule about giving. And preacher mentioned this morning. But Paul says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Is everybody here this morning? Raise your hand. Was everybody here? Somebody? Oh, put your hands down. Who wasn't here this morning? All right, get the tape so you can hear what he said this morning about these examples. But it's the truth. Is these principles not simple principles? Are these not so simple to understand that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly? Amen. I've well learned that. I grew up on a corn farm when I was a child down in Chickamauga. That's where I spent all my weekends, was pulling ears of corn and plowing fields and all that stuff when I was a little child and all that. And my grandfather was the same way. He didn't plant one corner thing of corn and say, well, we're going to feed the family this year off that piece of corn. Amen. No, it was row after row after row after row of corn and planting those seeds and covering them up and spending time with them. And then after that, after a short period of time, we had to learn what was a piece of corn, a twig, and what was a piece of weed, amen, and pull the right ones, or me and my brother get our hinds tore up, amen. Some of you parents don't know what that means anymore, but that means popping that backside, amen. That's just a little, throw that in there for you, amen. Children need that, amen, on the backside. But anyway, he would plant and plant and plant. And we would get out there and pull those weeds because you know what he wanted? He didn't want 2 or 3 ears of corn. He wanted enough to supply for not only the food for ourselves, but also to provide the money that we needed for the rest of the year. Now, people, if God's people could understand that simple principle. That is a simple, simple principle. I remember Brother Homer talking about a story that he used to tell all the time. I used to laugh, but that simple little story meant so much to me, and I have thought about it ever since that he's been gone and ever since I've heard it. But he talked about taking a little church up there in Bristol, Virginia, or Tennessee. He took me by there and showed me where it was one time when we were traveling through. And he was talking to Miss Ellie, and they come to that church, and it was them two, and I don't remember all the details of it and everything else. You can ask him about it when you get to heaven, amen, but I don't remember all of it. I remember bits and pieces, but he said that they had called him up there to be the pastor, wanted him to preach and maybe become the pastor of that church. So him and his family went there, and they passed the offering plate. And they passed that offering plate down through there, and there was but 4 or 5 people in the church, he said, and they passed it by him, and he put his in there, and went on and all that stuff. And he says, after the service, he said, well, the people come up to him and said, here's the offering that come in, we're going to give it all to you so you can have all the offering that come in. Brother Homer said he put $2.45 in the offering plate. He said what they gave him was $2.45 at the end of the meeting. And he said that verse come in there that if you gave more, you would have got more. Amen? Amen. Simple principle, right? If he put more in the offering plate, he would have got more back. I mean, that's a simple principle that if what we, and see, we don't understand that. If I spend a short period of time with my son, if I'm out doing everything else under the sun here on Roman, and I don't spend much time with him, and I let the world raise him, amen, and I let the school raise him, amen, and I let y'all raise him, amen, and I don't raise this kid, and I don't teach this kid, and I don't do all that, what I put into him is what I'm going to get out, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know that ain't popular and you don't like that and everything else. You'd rather the school system, everybody else raise your kids, but it's us and what we put into those kids and what we're going to get out of them. Amen. And if we don't, it's a simple, simple principle that God has given us here on the fact of giving and taking. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap what?
Bountifully.
I mean, it's so simple. Now, did we not sing Standing on the Promises of God? I'm so glad that song didn't work out. We had to flip back a page. Amen. Because these are the promises of God, are they not? If you reap a little, you're going to get a little. But if you plant a lot, you're going to get a lot. And like I said, I'm not talking about money there. So the principle is very simple when it comes to giving. Now, look in verse 7 where we get to the meat of this thing. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. This is where we see the depth of your giving. This is where we see the depth of your giving. I sit there and my wife's heart's a lot bigger than mine. Amen. Y'all all probably agree with that if you've been around us very long, that her heart's a lot bigger than mine. But here we see the depth of giving is what is in your heart, what you purpose in your heart that you're going to do that explains and that shows the depth of your heart. How much have you grown in the Lord? Amen. It is. And I'll give some examples here in a minute and all that stuff. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. It's not hard to figure out what people care about the most. It's not hard to do that. And Brother Homer always said, let me see your checking account and I'll show you where your heart is.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty much true, isn't it? Where we spend all of our money is where our heart is. I tell you, people... beats all I ever seen. Now, me and preacher probably get in a lot of trouble for this anyway, using this example. But a dog is a dog, amen? And a cat should be dead, amen? Amen. So anyway, you would be amazed. It blows my mind sometimes. I have a hard enough time feeding all these kids of mine, amen? That boy eat a box of cereal in one sitting. Rick back there eat two boxes of cereal at one sitting. I have to tell both them boys, put that cereal up. You don't need that much cereal, amen? I have to get on to them about that stuff all the time. But I tell you what, I'm doing all I can to feed these boys. They eat like garbage disposals and all that stuff. But here's what blows my mind, Brother Jim. I go down there to Food Line, and I'll go get out my hard-earned money, and I'll be there trying to pay for my groceries and pay for my stuff and all that. And there'll be a lady behind me that has a $500 worth of Fancy Feast on the conveyor belt, fixing to spend all that money on Fancy Feast or some of them fancy dog foods and all that stuff for a precious little dog at home or a precious little cat at home. Amen? That blows my mind, amen, of people doing that kind of stuff. You know where their heart is? On that dog. Their heart is on that cat. Their heart is on those things. And then you follow that same little old lady to church on Sunday morning, amen, and she puts $5 in the offering plate, amen. You know what she's doing? She's sowing very little, and she's going to reap very little, amen. That dog ain't going to help her out in eternity, amen, nor anybody else. I'm telling you, that shows the depth of our heart. What we purpose in our heart shows the depth of our giving, how far we have gone. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. You know, some point, now people when it comes to giving have all kinds of problems, don't they? I wrote down three little things. I didn't want to say a lot of bad stuff about giving. I knew I was preaching to the choir tonight. I know y'all are the good crowd. I know y'all are the ones that if I needed $5 to get out of here, y'all would give me 20 to make sure I didn't come back. Amen. I know that y'all love me that way, and I love you, and I didn't want to get too hard about this, but when it comes to giving, preacher's right what he said this morning. People get tired, amen. I mean, you can see them. You start talking about giving. I don't even put my wallet in my back pocket, amen. I put it in my front pocket. That way I can get it out faster. But yeah, you start talking about giving and money, people start twitching. Whew.
see women tucking their pocketbook up under here. What's he talking about? Is there a missionary here? Am I fixing to lose some money today? Amen. I mean, people get all uptight when you start talking about giving. And they do. And you know what? I wrote three little things down about that. Some people, number one, are scared of it. People in church are scared of giving. There is people that are scared of death to give a little money for something. Amen. I remember when I was just gotten saved, and there's some new people in here, so y'all can hear my old stories. Amen. It's new to some people, maybe. You probably didn't listen the first time anyway. But I remember when I first got saved. Amen. And somebody's trying to teach me about tithing and tell me about tithing. And you know, I thought tithing was $5 in the offering plate. That's what I thought. That's what I see my great-grandmother do the whole time I was growing up. Amen. Offering plate come by, she put $5 in there. So when I got saved, I thought that was what you put in there, $5. And this guy got to talk to me about tithing and all this and that and everything else. And I'm going to tell you something. When he started telling me about that, you know what it did to me? My faith didn't grow 100-fold that day. It scared the fire out of me. Yeah. You know why it scared the fire out of me? The reason why it scared the fire out of me is because when I got saved, I said, Lord, I've listened to the devil and I've done everything that sucker told me to do for 24 years of my life. And now, from now on, when you tell me to do something, I want to be as obedient to you as I was the devil. Amen? That's what I said. And so when this guy started talking to me about tithing, I thought, what? What's he talking about? He said, listen, Brother Ron, you come over to my house, spend 30 minutes at my house. He wasn't even the pastor asking for money. He was a friend. He said, you come over to the house, spend 30 minutes with me, let's study the Bible about tithing. He said, if I can prove to you that tithing is biblical, will you do it? I said, yeah, I thought I had this one whooped, right? I knew all them Southern Baptists, they dig up the Old Testament with all that. They always digging in the Old Testament to make me follow their rules, amen. I said, I got this one licked, amen. I know Jesus don't expect me to tithe no money. And so we go to his house, we sit down, open the Bible up, and he starts hitting me with that Old Testament stuff. I said, I got this licked. I said, Brother Shane, I said, that's Old Testament. That don't apply to me. Then he goes in there and he digs another verse up, and I said, Brother Shane, that's Old Testament. That don't count. He dug up another one. He dug up about 10 in the Old Testament about tithing. I said, I won this. Amen. You know why I remember Matthew 23:23 for the rest of my life? Because Matthew 23:23 is in the New Testament. Jesus said, hey, and he was talking to him. He said, hey, y'all do good about tithing and doing all the right stuff. It's the other stuff that y'all leave out. And I thought, you know what? Right there in Matthew 23:23, he says, now, I was doing the opposite. I was good at serving God. I was good at being nice to people. I was good at doing all that. I was a servant at church. I was there every time the doors were open. I was at church 6 days a week, hours upon hours, and all that stuff. I said, but he says, but you're not tithing. Oh, you know what that did to me? It scared me. It scared me. I got scared. Why did I get scared? Because I was broke. I didn't have no money. And I knew what little money I had, and I had them brats at home I had to feed, amen. And I was like, now how am I going to feed them brats? I'm not, listen guys, I ain't talking about I couldn't pay the Wi-Fi money on my cell phone. I'm not talking about I couldn't keep my fifth cell phone in my, none of that. I'm not talking about I couldn't make my car payment. I didn't have none of that stuff. I didn't even know what a cell phone was. I didn't have all that kind of junk. Don't even think I had a phone in my house, to be honest with you. Didn't have no TV, didn't have no cable, I didn't have none of that stuff. And he showed me that it was right to tithe. You know what it did? Scared me. I said, how in the world am I going to tithe? How in the world am I going to give up money that I don't have already and all that stuff? And Brother Shane says, let me tell you something, Ron. It may scare you to death, but this is what God says. And if God said to do it and you do it, He'll take care of you. And you know what? And God brought that back to my mind. He says, remember what you said the day you got saved? You said that you obeyed Satan for 24 years of your life. Now, you told me that when you got saved and you was in that little baptistry, you told me that whatever I told you to do, you would do it. And you know, me and the Lord had a little discussion about that. But at the end, I said, so be it. Remember what they said in the Bible? Nevertheless, at thy word. Yeah. Remember? Yeah, when they were out fishing, hadn't caught nothing all night, hadn't had anything. They had wasted all night fishing and all that stuff, and Jesus said, I said, go back out there and let your nets down. And you know, after he got through with that conversation and all that, what did he finally say? He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll go do what you said. Let me tell you something. That I had that same experience. When that offering plate come around and I had a electric bill due that was $95 or something like that, or $90 or something, and I had to tithe on the money that I had, brought me up short for that electric bill that week. It did. And that offering plate come by and my hand was just shaking. Just shaking. I said, oh Lord. Oh. I let it go. I said, well, I guess I can live without electricity. No, it wasn't that. Oh, God's going to replace this. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to have plenty of money. I didn't have that kind of attitude. I said, well, I guess I can live without electricity. And people did it back in Brother Jim's day. I can do it in my day. Amen. I said, I guess I can tough it out without electricity. I dropped that money in that plate, and I'm going to tell you that it didn't take more than 10 minutes. They had some kind of service up there and the way they did it, but I sat pretty much in the same place where my wife's sitting and all that now. And I put that money in that offering plate, and I dropped it in there, scared to death. All kinds of thoughts going through my head, man, I'm not going to have electricity. Kids are going to freak out at night because they can't turn the light on when they go to the bathroom. And it's a long walk back there to the backyard without them lights on, all that stuff. It wasn't the thoughts of God's going to take care of me. It was a scared thought. I was scared. And I got up, and they sang a special. This choir sang, and it was time to let the choir down, and I got up. And I was walking around shaking hands like I always do, and shaking hands, and this guy's name was Brother Ron. He come down off the top pew of the altar of the up there singing. I've never met him before, never talked to him. He come right around like it was a straight line, and he walked right up to me and gave me one of them special handshakes. It was the first one I ever had in my life, Brother Doug. I never had a handshake like that before. But he shook my hand and slid off in my hand a check. I thought it was a note telling me how sorry I was at first. I didn't know. It was just blank and put it in my pocket, went, sat down. Hadn't been saved very long, probably just a couple months. And I went back there and I sat down in my seat and I opened it up. And it was for $100, I think it was. Amen. And it not only paid for my light bill, not only paid me back for what I had just tithed, but it helped me buy my groceries for the week. Yeah. And you know, that man didn't know nothing about me. But God did. God knew that I had just tried Him. God knew that I just stepped out on faith to put that money in that offering plate. God knew I just tested Him on the standing on the promises of God. I just put Him to the test, and I didn't do it maliciously. I didn't do it, now God, let's see what you're going to do. I put it in there shakingly because I was scared of giving. And I tell you what, God showed me right then that if you'll just do what I ask you to do, I'll take care of you. Amen? And I tell you, out that little thing and where I'm at now, God has growed me and growed me and growed me from that one thing. So that's what stops most people from giving. They're scared of it. Some people will just not have anything to do with it. Amen? You know, nobody confessed to this, but you know why some people wasn't here this morning? Because they know what this week's about. It ain't just here neither. It's every church. Is that the church I came from? Is that the church that ain't as good as it was in Virginia up there where I was? It's the same way. When people know that Mission Conference Weeks is coming, they don't want to look out of place so they won't come Sunday morning, knowing that it's going to start on Wednesday. You think me and preachers fooled about that stuff? We're not fooled about that stuff. We know when people don't come. You know why? Because they don't want to have nothing to do with it. I said, I know y'all people are all crazy about that stuff. You're going to give you money and all that stuff. And y'all, good on you and all that. I'm glad for you. Y'all go ahead and do that. Send that money to them missionaries and all that. But I don't have nothing to do with it. There's people with that kind of attitude. Not only with missions, but with tithing too. They'll come to church. They'll come in, day out. They'll eat our food. Amen. They'll take in our electricity. They'll do all that stuff. And won't put one nickel in offering plate. They said, I ain't having nothing to do with that. I won't tell too many stories or we won't be here 20 minutes, amen. I have to cut these stories down tonight. But anyway, some people won't have anything to do with it. And then there's a third group of people. Some people love it. Some people have learned to flat out love to give. Are you serious? People love to give? Hey, I'm going to tell the truth and all I can right now because it's thundering outside and I don't want to be hit by lightning, amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is people that has learned to love to give. I'm not lying. It's the truth. I'm telling you, once you learn what the principles of giving is all about, and when you purpose in your heart to give, and that's in your heart to be a giver and all that stuff, and not a taker, and you see what God does when it comes to giving, you become to where you love to give. Amen? That's the truth. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about everything under the sun. You just love to give. Amen. I tell you, that's one of the greatest principles I've learned in my life. I believe with all my heart that one of the reasons why my shop is the way that it is because we've learned to give. Hey, it ain't what God's going to give back to me. I don't care what God's going to give back to me. See, that's where you learn to love to give. If that, when you're worried about what God's giving back to you, you're still learning the principles of giving. You haven't purposed in your heart very much when you're still waiting on what's coming in. Amen? If you're putting $100 in the offer plate hoping $200's coming on this side, you've missed it. Amen? You've missed it. You know what? I like to give and see what God does in that person's life. Amen? Not what He does in my life, but what He does to somebody else's life because we give. I would bet to say that some of you people in here that are in here, it didn't happen in my life because my parents didn't go to church. But I bet you there's some people in here that have seen God bless your mama and daddy being in church, Sister Tammy shaking her head already, where somebody has given to your mom and dad, you saw it as a child and it done something for you, amen? God does that. I'm telling you, you love to give because of what God is going to do for somebody else. Not what you're waiting to get put back in your back pocket, amen? I'm telling you, it amazes me. What God, when you become the giver that God wants you to be, all you are is a channel. That's what you are. You're a channel. All you are, you know, you got a funnel. You dump all this in, and guess what? A funnel don't stop up, right? It comes out the bottom. That's what God, when you become the giver that God wants you to be, that's the way it is. You don't go in and go, boy, oh, I'm going to be tight today if I give all this money away and all that stuff. I'm telling you, when God tells me to give money, it doesn't bother me a bit. It doesn't, because I have learned that God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my family. He's going to take care of my situations and all that stuff. All I got to do is just be a channel for God to use. Amen. You know why that number's so high right there for our church? It's because people have learned to simply be a funnel for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're just a channel to get the work done that God has asked to get done. Amen? We got to send missionaries to the foreign field. We got to do what God has asked us to do. Keep the lights on and all that. And you just allow God to use you as a channel to get the money where it needs to be. That's the depth of your heart. It's not hard to figure that out. Look, there has to be a transition. Look in Colossians chapter 1 real quick, or I'll read it to you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ. Who is that in here? How many of you in here say, love the Lord Jesus Christ? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen to what he says in verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. That's the key right there. You know, when you first get saved, you don't got it all together. From what I can tell, even when you've been saved 70, 80 years, you still ain't got it all together. Amen. I've seen some old saints of God make some of the stupidest mistakes I've ever seen in my life. Amen. But there has to be a transition in your life where you transition from your affections being on your job and your affections being on your car and your affections being on your house and your affections being on the clothes you wear and all that stuff to where your affection is changed to the things of God. Amen. And when your affection is changed to the things of God, God opens up the storehouse. He opens up the windows of heaven and He pours it out on you. Amen. When your affection changes to the things of God, He takes care of the rest. You know what? That's one of the hardest things for us Christians to learn. to quit putting our affections on everything down here on earth, to quit loving everything that the world has to offer, to quit loving all the stuff outside these doors, and to fall in love with God and set our affection on Him and allow Him to work in our lives. Amen. I'm telling you, that's one of our problems. There has to be a transition in there somewhere. I'm still working on mine. Amen? It's better than it was. It ain't where it needs to be, but I'm working on it. Amen? That's the truth. I can be transparent. Amen? I ain't got it all together either. Hey, there's still some things in the world I love. Amen? I tell you, and one of them I still ain't got. Amen? Still praying about that Corvette, babe. Anyway. But there has to come a time when you quit setting your affections on the thing of the world, and a Christian, when it's called maturing as a Christian, and we set our affections on the things of God. And when that transition happens, our heart is changed. What we purpose in our heart changes, amen? Hey, I can go to the grave and it doesn't matter if I don't ever get a Corvette, amen? I can leave it or take it, amen? I can leave and take whatever cars there is. That's what gets me, is most Christians base their Christianity and how God has blessed them on the cars they drive. They do they not? It's the truth. That is as shallow as it comes, but that is the truth. I ain't going to mention no church's name. I'm going to try to be nice tonight. Amen? But I'm telling you, I've been to them churches that when I pulled up in an 85 Suburban burning diesel, big old diesel breathing engine while I was on deputation, and I pulled up in that thing pulling a pop-up camper, amen, that I lived in while I was on deputation and all that, them people look at me and go, boy, you ain't very close to the Lord, are you? Look at what God making you ride around in. Really? That's how... That's how most Christians think, amen? They base somebody's Christianity, they base all that stuff on the things they drive, the house they live in, and all those sort of things. And you know why? Because we have set our affection on the things of the world and not set our affections on the things of God. Amen? That's the truth. You can put that wherever you want to. You can throw it away, whatever, but that's the truth. Amen? Where we set our affections. Let me look at my next point. Amen? So that is the depth of our heart. You know that's what the problem was back in Luke chapter 12. Huh? Right, that one verse where I read. But look back a few verses before that in Luke chapter 12 real quick. I promise I'm going to try to wind this thing down. Look in chapter 12 real quick with me in verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Let me ask you something. What happens to everybody that does that? They die. They do. When people get this mentality and they do this, all these retired people that I have seen and say, "I've got all this bank account set up, I've got all this money set up, and now I'm going to retire and take it easy." I'm telling you, they have heart attacks, they have this, they have that, they have everything under the sun because they quit working. Amen? Anyway, you can put that where you want to, too. And it says here, verse 20, it says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul be required of thee, then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Look in verse 21. "So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich," what? "Toward God." His affections were still on the things of the earth, not on the things above. He didn't have his heart right. He had a very shallow heart. Listen, when you begin to seek the things above, you begin to care about the things of God instead of what we want. Amen? That's the truth. Let me tell you something, preacher. God gives me what I want. He does. I mean, God gives me what I want. When I first got saved, He didn't. Amen? I thought He took everything away from me. You don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need this. You don't need that in your life. You don't need that. You sure don't need that $20. Amen? Took that away from me. You sure don't need that, and took everything away from me. You know why? Because He is trying to transition my heart from the things of this world to Him. Amen? And now, since I've got the principle and I understand the thing, and I say, "Okay, God, I understand that," and He's tried me on a few things, and He said, I'm gonna put this to a test, and He's tried it, and I passed the test. You know what He says? "You can have that. You can have that." Now I ain't got no $65 million jet like Jeffro Dollar does. Some of y'all TV preachers know that. Don't listen to that. And I sure don't have a 2015 Stingray outside, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. He's given me a lot of stuff I wanted. And I mean material stuff that He's given me that I wanted. Amen? I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve one bit of it. I about knocked Chad's head off his head last week. Situation come up to the shop. Opportunity come up at the shop. Y'all might see it in the parking lot next week. And I said, boy, that sure is nice. Been wanting one of them for a long time. Y'all know I'm a Toyota man. I'm hardcore Toyota man. My cars ain't at my shop being worked on all the time. Anyway, hardcore Toyota man. I've always wanted a Toyota Tundra. Do you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to give up everything I got to do to go buy a Toyota Tundra. You know, I'm not going to quit tithing to go buy a Toyota Tundra. I'm not going to quit taking care of those missionaries that come through my shop just so I can have a Toyota Tundra. Could I do that? Without a doubt. You wouldn't believe it how many stupid missionaries' cars I have to spend money on every month. That's the truth. I don't charge them when they come through unless they're a total idiot, amen? If they're a total idiot, I have to teach them a little bit. You know what I mean? Everybody has to be taught a little bit. But I've spent, I couldn't tell you how much money on that, and I could easily go out and get me a Toyota Tundra. Now, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think God's going to give me one of them. I think. And if He does, God gave me what I wanted. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't set my affections on that thing. I didn't go down there to Toyota and sign a big old contract to get it. I didn't go do all that stuff and everything else. God knows the desires of my heart. God knows what you want. I mean, anyway, let me leave it alone. Let me just leave it alone. I make so many people mad. Let me leave it alone. But you know what I've learned, preacher? I've learned how to purpose in my heart to give to the things of God. Whoever that man is, I'm going to tell you, I don't know him. Whoever that man that gave that $9,000, he's learned how to purpose in his heart to give to the Lord. When somebody can give $9,000 and just say, here, take $9,000 and use it for the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. He's learned to set his affections on. Is that true? I don't know this man, but you do, don't you? I mean, he set his affections on the things of earth. On the things of God, and God has used him. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Where do you stand with God? Is that not where you want to be? I would love to be able to write a check for $9,000. Preacher, here, go use this for the missionaries. Here, you know why? Because I'm not worried. It wasn't mine to start with. It was God's. It wasn't mine. It was His. If God tells you to do it, do it. Amen. That's when we transition and start setting our things on the things above. And giving becomes a what? Joy. See there in verse, I can't finish all this message tonight. I thought it was a short one, but it didn't work that way. But I'm just going to finish right here. Verse 7 says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give not what? Grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. You know what I learned a long time ago? Is God don't need my money. He don't. God don't need your money. God owns everything. And God can take whatever He wants and make things happen out of nothing. Remember that verse, or that what we say, little as much when God is in it? That's the truth. God doesn't need your money. God, if you think missions is all about your money, you've missed the whole thing. Missions is about your heart being focused on the things of God and what God wants you to do. And let me tell you something, God loveth a cheerful giver. People, I'm telling you, I used to get mad. Brother preacher here, he's preached a lot of mission conferences, been in a lot of them that we had to endure and things like that. And it irritates me. We don't always have good preachers preaching mission conferences. We've been in those meetings and get up there and for one, a preacher to say how much God needs your money. God needs your money. God wants your money. God's got to have your money. And I've heard that kind of preaching before. God don't want, He don't care nothing about your money. He wants your heart. He wants you to purpose in your heart. He wants you to set your affections on things above. And I tell you, when He gets that, He's got everything you want. Let's pray. Father.